Down to brass tacks, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, John.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm going to tell you, I've spoken to Dennis already sometime last week or week before. This concerns the work that's going on Highway 1. There seem to be some very serious problems with the people who are directing the traffic. There's no coordination between them. Sometimes drivers are left to negotiate the single lane all on their own. And if it's not corrected, somebody might lose their life, like this morning. Now, when you pass for this, so you know how this is on the area one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Bus gone through. Bus get to Sandy Lane Hotel. Then driver is told there's a burst, meaning he cannot proceed any further. Now, already bus is off track as far as time is concerned. He now has to find some place to reverse one of these electric buses. This is very huge. And that was a kind of time-consuming. Then to go back at the road to go up for this. I blame the supervisor because if something like that has happened, he should have communicated with the person up at the other end that vehicles cannot proceed after a certain point. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And not only that, they don't seem to be able to get it together. Sometimes they're just ignoring, like yesterday again, same bus driver, same time bus, wanted to negotiate to continue on the route. The personnel moved one section of the barrier and refused to move the other one, although the driver directed his attention that the bus cannot get through just a small space.
Mm-hmm.
I intend to call in for about it.
Okay, well, because, and unless I was dreaming and I may be having a senior moment, I'm not sure if he called earlier. I think you did.
But I
okay.
called Dennis because this is a very important.
Okay.
Because somebody can lose a life if this thing is not corrected.
Well, now that you're here, let me just read this quickly. This person is saying, this is earlier this morning, as a pedestrian, I am scared of these zebra crossings located by roundabouts. The most dangerous one is located in Wildey, coming from the BET building headed to Sargent's Village. You take your life in your hands as you attempt to cross that road. Who could have come up with such an ill-informed decision to put these zebra crossings by roundabouts?
But, so, John, mm-hmm? In quick response to that, sometimes it's the pedestrians too. You can't blame all drivers. Some people feel because it's a pedestrian crossing, they can just walk across the road.
Okay.
Although the ministry have been telling people, make some kind of indication with your hand that you're about certain always the drivers, but it is though a fact that a lot of these pedestrian crossings are barely positioned, mm-hmm. and they need to be corrected as soon as possible. Have a nice day.
Thank you so much. And before I take another call, someone sent me a message to remind me because it was something I needed to mention today, but I wanted to make sure and confirm that it was indeed misinformation. Some individual who clearly has nothing better to do with their life shared a voice note indicating that the persons who were missing were found, et cetera, and how they were found and the police on the scene and so on and so forth. Now, I remember listening to Brass Tacks on, I think it was Monday, David Ellis was on. The father, Mr. Innes, called, and to tell you the truth, I was driving, and I wanted to, I had to pull over a little bit or drive slowly because, it really, really touched me. He talked about his daughter. He talked about how he felt. And to hear some, I don't know if I can call him individual or person because that's not human. Why would you do something like that? Why would you spread that information? I mean, if it were true, again, I would like to think that the police would inform the family first before everybody else knows that X, Y, and Z is happening. And it's spread across Barbados. And apparently, I made some calls to some reporters and some people this morning, and then someone messaged me to remind me about the voice note. That is unconscionable. It is stupid. It's just inhumane. It's wrong. Why would you? What would possess you to do something like that? People are hurting. Their loved ones, they don't know what happened. They don't know where they are. They don't know anything. You know, there's a saying, you know, we're missing past you, or, you know, you got to be careful, because when you do stuff like that and you do bad things, they can come right back to you, whoever you are. So I really am very disappointed. I'm hurt, and I'm not even the parent. Why would you do it? People need to stop with these stupid voice notes about things that happened that didn't happen, when it's COVID or this. People already scared. People already not working. People can't eat. People scared about crime. And you have so much time on your hand. Is it that your life is so low that you need to bring everybody else down in the dirt with you? I feel real strong about stuff like this, because you don't do that. You're spreading untruths and you're hurting other people when you do it. And I hope that you're arrested. I hope that the Computer Misuse Act, somebody does something and they go after these people for doing this these types of things. Down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead, sir. You're on the air.
Good day to you.
Good day to you.
I'm in total agreement there with you. It is very hurtful when these people could use social media to do harm to others. They don't know how people feel when they hear this type of news, and bad news is spread real, real fast. So it seems that social media, though good, is used as a tool to destroy lives of other people. What I call about, just now a gentleman calling and invited you to come and do some heavy lifting. And I remember on Friday last week, when Mr. David Ellis was on, he asked the question, he don't understand what is meant by heavy lifting. One lady called or emailed first and said that the heavy lifting is to get rid of all of the men. Another woman walks up after, and she said that she was in total agreement with the person that emailed first, that it is to get rid of all the men. So I was just saying, because the caller...
What is your interpretation of heavy lifting in the context in which it was used by the caller or even by the Prime Minister?
Well, let me look at it this way. I think it was a very unfortunate statement to make when the Prime Minister made it. Because remember that the cabinet, everybody is saying that the cabinet is too big. And her defense was that she wanted them to do the heavy lifting. So the more the merrier, more hands make light work. That's one of the comments that she made.
Well, because the heavy lifting eventually would have to turn into lighter lifting. It becomes less weighty, if you want to put it that way. It becomes lighter.
What you asked me my interpretation, and I'm giving you my interpretation.
No, go ahead, sir.
If you say that you have this big cabinet because that you want people to lift this weight as the excuse for including all these people into your cabinet, It tells me that the amount of people you got still are not lifting the weight. So you want more people now to lift the weight. Just like employing somebody there for 3 months for 80 somebody $1,000. But that is not the point that I really want to get at.
Okay.
The point I'm getting at is that it was very refreshing to hear two women calling to make the statement that that is what they believe the heavy lifting is. And as a result of all the things that we have been noticing, that is exactly what
is this my friend who said that I belittle? Oh, this is my friend. The one that made the statement that you believe I belittle men? Yes, my friend. Is this my friend that says that I made some statements that were a little bit belittling to the male species?
Well, you are accustomed to that. I'm the same person.
Oh, you are?
Okay. I know where you stand, and you're known by the muffins that you made. But I ain't called to talk about you. I'm calling to let the caller that be aware of the fact. And he knows me. He knows me personally.
Mm-hmm.
We know one another.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to be very careful. You got to be very careful, because if you get rid of all the men, he would be included in it too, just like some of the others. Mm-hmm. Thanks very much. You have a good day.
Thank you, too. It is very sad that the interpretation of heavy lifting came down to physical strength. I believe it meant a lot more than that, and I believe it meant to be shared by all, whether you're a man or woman. But again, that is your take, and I totally respect your views, even though I don't agree with them. Down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air.
Yeah, the problem is the more people you employ, the more it costs. So I don't know where the logic is in that. I really don't know the logic is in, you know, more hands, less weight. What's the word? More hands, less work.
Well, isn't that a fact?
No. I like to pay people to work. I don't want people to do less work. I wanted to pay them to work.
No, not pay them less work. It makes the task a little bit easier. But go ahead. I'm sure you didn't call about that.
Oh, but you want to argue that point with me? I'm saying to you,
we can argue it. Go right ahead.
Let's say this. If I pay, I know of a consultant. He was imported. He's my very good friend.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't work in Barbados. He's been for many, many years. I would never employ a consultant unless I necessarily have to. But here's this, because I can do all the work myself. Whatever, I don't care what consultancy is.
You can do all the work yourself. You don't need any help.
If it's not medicine, I'm going to go ahead and talk to a doctor. He say, boy, let me tell you, boy, medicine nowadays is very hard, because patients coming through the door and they, Dr. Google comes first. So he got to compete with people who go in there pretty enlightened as to what it is that they're looking for. So I think being a doctor today is a hell of a lot more challenging than it has ever been. You can't tell a patient, you know, A, B, C, and D, and expect that patient will come back the following time, you know, with the kind of confidence that he's supposed to have, because everything a doctor said is necessarily true. Not no more than there's done. I'm just saying to you, a doctor, as the ultimate consultant, even his particular responsibility is being challenged. So you can't come today. My friend who used to work here, an importee, we still talk very good, would work for 36 hours nonstop. And he was extremely expensive. I think his hours, he was being paid like close to $800 an hour. He was extremely expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But he did, in 3 days, the work that would take a normal consultant like 4 or 5 months to do. So even though you're paying this man good money, and he did a lot of work, he did it in time, and you saved money. And that runs completely counter to this thing about more hands, like more what?
But no. Whatever
it is. Anyhow.
No, many hands make light work, or whatever you want to think it. The point is,
If you have people,
in your business, let me just say, in your business, and you have 20.
I'm a vendor.
Well, okay, let me just say that in your dreams, you had a business, and your business that you had happened to be wax figurines, and you had an order for 20.
Oh, that is so unprofessional.
Right? You had an order, this is just a dream, you had an order for 20, and you had a deadline. Do you really think that you can meet that deadline on your own? And with 20 wax figurines, or do you think you're going to need some help in order to meet the deadline and create the best product you can possibly create?
You know, I hate to be compared in that way. If I do something, mm-hmm. you will see the results of what I have done. You will see the quality of it. You will see and witness the quantity of it. I am involved with measurable campaigns. I'm not involved with advice.
But you're not answering my point. You have an order for 20 figurines and you have a deadline.
It is not comparable. It is not comparable. Whatever I do is measurable. It is measurable. You can sense it. You can see it. You can touch it. You can smell it. You can feel it. You can assess it. In terms of quantity and quality, it is not a consultancy. So you cannot compare me. I started to talk to you by saying I have a real difficulty with the consultancy scenes in Barbados, because frankly, many of them are very much overpaid.
Okay, so let me bring it back. You needed to build your business. You needed a business plan, a better model. You needed to rebrand.
I do myself.
You decided that, okay, well, fine. Then you can be the chief cook on Bottle
Wars. I don't know what you're arguing about. You know, I think you pretty much understand where I'm coming from.
I do, but you don't understand me, but that's fine. We'll disagree.
We'll
agree to disagree.
But you're not disagreeing.
But your point,
agree with me.
No problem. What is your main point? Because you didn't call about that.
Okay, because basically, let me move on from that. Because in the same manner, because you have all of these consultants, all of them, a whole bunch of them, and I don't particularly see a big change in stuff moving forward. I mean, the last administration had a lot of consultants too, and it was likewise, you're paying people to do what? You can't assess them in any way. So let me give a little free consultancy advice here, and they don't get paid for it. Barbados needs to shift.
You sure it's the consultant we worried about or the implementation of what the consultant brings to the table that we worried
about? I know
there
are many studies that have been done over the years, and they have been redone and redone. Barbados is probably one of the most studied populations in the history of mankind. Studied left, right, and center, and restudied. And many of these things really and truly are not what they call, what are defined as prescriptive studies. Which is really unfortunate, because if you give a government, and I'm not talking about this one, because whatever this one is doing, the others are completely guilty of doing as well. If you do a prescriptive study, they're going to reject it, because who are you to tell me what to do? I want a study that's a blue paper or a brown paper, which is descriptive. I want to know what the situation and the lay of the land is. Most of these studies is, how are they going to vote? You know, what does poverty look like? What percentage is educated? You cannot ask these people to go out there and say, well, this is what I want you to do. I have studied the situation, and this is what you do to fix it, because it will be completely ignored. And that has always been the case. These studies go out there, they get read in Parliament once or twice, and they go on a shelf.
Could you stick a pin? Well, I'm asking you, is it really the consultant or the implementation of what was delivered on a piece of paper that is the bigger problem? Because you may have a consultant that's very good and comes up with some very fantastic ideas, and on a piece of paper, this is what you need to do, this is how you need to implement it. It goes to Parliament, it goes this place, and it stays on a piece of paper. Is it the problem, the consultant, or is it the problem, the implementation of what the consultant brings to the table? Because the consultant did his or her job.
My problem is communication, because I try to explain that the consultants get involved to do descriptive studies. They have to tell you the lay of the land. They very rarely are employed to give you what needs to be done, which is prescriptive.
That's not
true.
They
don't do that. But if it is, I tell you, if it is, well, then therefore you have a problem with the implementation or even the acceptance of the advice that is given. Because I very rarely see these things happening where a consultant gives advice, which is prescriptive advice, and then somebody acts on that particular advice. We've had problems at the hospital for years, problems that have been diagnosed. I'm talking about operational problems. Diagnosed! And solutions given, and they don't happen.
But that's the problem. If you hire 20 big consultants and give them big money and decided, okay, ideas are fantastic, you know, the people did the job. But if it is, no, it has to go from this point, it has to go to this office and this office to get the staff, no, to implement it. Do you know that when they don't implement it, 5 years down the road, there's an election, nothing can get due. You got to hire the same people or somebody else to come and put the same thing on the same piece of paper to get the same people to implement something that they didn't do 5 years ago. You get where I'm coming from?
No, I don't want to step back, because I want to step forward a bit. If I step back and say everything you have said ties into what I said when they first called, which has to do with less hands make more work. I mean, more hands make less work. I mean, if you're going to employ the same people to do the same work that was done before, and you're knowing that the outcome will be just about the same as it was 5 or 4 years ago, I mean, again, it doesn't apply. That particular sentiment is not an appropriate sentiment for today. It should be more of like, we have to be able to rationalize stuff. We have to move forward, making sure we get the most out of people for the least possible cost. I mean, that's the kind of action going forward. But again, I'm criticizing, and that's not what I intended to do in the first place. I was just trying to follow up from the last caller. Okay. I'm just saying that here is a piece of free advice. Free advice. If we can move away from services, and it can happen, because everybody else in the Caribbean is doing, let's serve these white people, let's bring them here and put them in sheets and make them feel sweet, or let's go after their companies and make sure the numbers add up and everything. If we can get away from that servitude mentality, and I'm very sorry, that's exactly what it is. We are all the products of a slave thing going forward, and a lot of people who are still comfortable with serving others. Hey, that is fine, that is your thing, but it doesn't have to be a national effort. I think the rest of the world, like Barbados, should be judged based on what they could produce. Simple. You have to produce something that the rest of the world is prepared to sell. And get a list of items as well, too. I mean, they got over a billion items out there that are being produced for consumption all over the world. We can get a couple, too. I mean, we do produce a couple of things, and invariably those ideas come from overseas, where the designs are, you know, take place overseas, and all we have what happens here in Barbados is either a transshipment or indeed some kind of final stage manufacturing. It doesn't matter. At least you're part of the production continuum. It's very easy how to get involved with productive enterprise and to have it as being a national objective as opposed to being ignored. First thing, free advice. Get all the potential producers and all the producers under one roof. David Eswick tried that with the arts community back in 2008. And boy, let me tell you, that meeting was so, you had to keep quiet, because that man was coming up with topics and all kinds of advice and responses that were out of this world. Those guys had things to say, man, that could have easily be applicable today as it would have been 20 and 25 years ago. Extraordinarily important people. I mean, you don't hear about them, but they've also had to step back and you had to keep quiet, boy. In fact, he eventually got shifted at about a year and a half afterwards because he couldn't handle the response. First thing David Estwick said is that the government got no money. The government ain't got no money. And them guys who were in the audits responded in so many different ways. Oh, that's okay. We don't need that. We got to do this and we do that. First thing to do is get them people on all the farmers in Barbados, all the manufacturers in Barbados, all the artisans who produce stuff in under one house and ask them a simple question. How can we help you? Simple. And you will have ideas coming forward. Like, you don't need to pay these people. They were just volunteer. I don't want Mohammed Nasser there. He out of there. Like, let Mohammed stop down. Because, Mohammed, we want you there. Get the rest in there, and you hear the things coming forward. Then, the next thing you got to do is say, okay, we could produce all of these things. But, you know, ain't no point producing something unless you could sell it. Because we want you to produce, because Bajans could produce. We could make boats, we could make rockets, we could make cruisers and weapons, and we can make them all. We got hands.
I need you to take a breath, though, because I do need to take a break. And I didn't want to interrupt you in the middle of the sentence, but I have to because my producer is begging me to get the commercials in. Okay? So either you hold or we're going to have to thank you. Either or. Before I get back to the phone lines, I just want to read this WhatsApp message. It came in at 11:49, and the individual actually messaged us as he was in his car. He said, good day, I am parked in a very long line at the Pine Licensing Authority, currently awaiting to have a vehicle weighed. There's one station that they normally have that they're having this process done right now. I've been here for 2 hours so far with about 20 cars in front of me and six behind. Why can't we have more stations to have this process done? This is a waste of productive time. Surely we can have more scales to have this done. Surely the Pine is the Pine the only place to weigh vehicles they're asking? And that came in at 11:49. It's now 1:21, so I'm hoping that the individual is no longer in that line. Yes, caller.
Hey, okay, that is so unfortunate.
It is. Yeah. So you were wrapping up and saying?
No, in that case, more hands, less work. But I mean, I really
there you go. Prime example, but you have your different way.
I gave it opening. I'm taking it back.
You're taking it back? Many hands make light work then?
No, if I'm paying taxpayers, I don't want many hands. I want the people who are being paid to do the work as efficiently, not efficiently, as cost effectively as possible. That's what I would like
all
to
right,
see that.
All right, but we have a full board, so the producer's telling me you got to wrap up.
All right, so, you know, if you're going to be producing things, you need to be able to sell them. That's the problem, you see. So the minister will say, well, you know, okay, we could produce all these things. Now, how are we going to get them sold? What's the point of producing stuff that you can't get sold? Well, the response to that would be very straightforward. We have a lot of overseas, and exposing them to overseas market because you're not going to be producing them to sell to Barbadians after all. I mean, you need a local market, it is true. But the local market is so small, or so, let me say, not as evolved as it should be to appreciate some of the items that could be produced because they don't buy weapons like that in Barbados and stuff. Let me say guidance systems and stuff. You need to have representatives over and away that can represent the interests of Barbadians. You need to have people over there who can say, yes, we can produce that in Barbados. Yes, we can fill that particular demand. Yes, we know how we can make things happen so that demand can be filled. You want yachts? We can build yachts in Barbados too. You know, we got the space around the East Coast that we can put up the facilities that are required. We can give you 80 feet, 120 feet, you name it. Because you got the artisans. We need people out there representing the interests of the productive people in Barbados so at least we can have an opening to the overseas markets. Now, how is that done? What do you think we got these agencies out there to do? To stamp passports?
Well, huh? I
mean, seriously, we got a lot of people. We pay U.S. money to keep in buildings that cost
Barbados. Well, I'm going to have to stamp it right there. No, you don't do anything because we have a full board and I have less than an hour. And I know you always try to get in your points with speed, but we're gonna have to move on. Okay? I wanna thank you. You always call and we always appreciate your contribution and you know that. Down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Joyanne.
Good afternoon.
When it comes to the last caller, you can speak for yourself.
How are you doing?
I am doing fine. And good. Your family and yourself.
Yeah,
we're
doing okay. We're holding on like everyone else.
Okay, I was looking for you. I was looking for Dennis on Monday, but I didn't see you. But I had a fantastic time without you.
I'm not sure exactly where that was, Dennis. Somewhere you didn't invite me.
Pardon?
Dennis didn't invite me to this particular thing that he was supposed to be at. Where are we talking about?
No, I'm talking about the dismantling of the statue. Lord Nelson's statue.
Oh, okay, no. I watched it on TV, and I must say, I quite enjoyed the show.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I really did. It was well executed, yep. As well as you took down the NIS building. There was no injuries, no problems, and it's strange. As much as these callers call up every day and complained, no one complained when you were part of that posse that was taking down the NIS building, and no one was injured. Isn't that incredible?
Well, I think that whoever did the job for Nelson and I believe the NCF put together the package. The only problem I had, and truthfully, watching on television and seeing people without masks on in crowds, that was disturbing for me, because I'm saying we're still asking people to wear a mask. And I saw some people I actually knew, and I'm like, some people from the Water Authority. So the young man who drives that water truck who finished work, you were on TV, you didn't have a mask on. But, you know, that was the only disappointing part.
The majority of the people there did have on their masks. Yeah. Me, because of my problem, I had to take it off from time to time because it does bother me after a while. But I wasn't really in a crowd. The only time I really went into a crowd is, you know, I had to see my prime minister because I have not seen her in a long time. And I was very happy to see her and Cynthia Ford. Mm-hmm. And I did my thing.
It was well put together. I must say, my daughter enjoyed it. And we thought the cultural show, everything was on point. The drone footage was on point. The music was on point, and people benefited. I mean, I guess I'd call myself guilty on this one, because in the beginning, yes, we have bigger issues, and we do. However, removing that, it was a good start, I find, to change things. But the people who benefited financially, because even the snow cone man made a little bit of money that day.
Thank you.
You know?
Thank you.
So
thank you.
That's what I'm looking at.
I brought my own Barbadian flag, but people were doing their own thing, and they did make money.
They made money.
And you know what? It's satisfying. I know there's certain people in Barbados that are against the removal of Nelson, but it irritated me 19 years ago when I first came to Barbados that he was in that area. I always thought he should have been put in a museum, but not so close to the center of town. I always thought
in Heroes,
that was like an
in
embarrassment.
Heroes Square.
Yes, in Hero Square. But other than that, I really enjoyed it. I liked the fact that while he was being dismantled, it was done in a respectful manner.
Yeah.
And you could see in the background the drums playing.
Mm-hmm.
Those beautiful young girls dancing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was done in sync. Whoever put this whole package together.
10 points, I must say. I felt the same way, too. I actually was like, okay, we're removing the statue, but the entertainment really was good, I must say.
But there's another thing, Joanne, that I don't like that I'm seeing in Barbados, in not so much the younger generation. They come out, they tell you they appreciate things. But there was a lot of people there. You couldn't really see them because we were scattered out because of the social distance, and they were on the bridge. You know, you didn't feel crowded in any area that I was in. I was close to the fence, and I just felt that more people should have called up the radio station and said how much they enjoyed the whole event. Stop behaving like slaves, like we're not free to express happiness.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Before you go, and I didn't see you weigh in so much, maybe you didn't see it, but I see you put information up, but it's never really negative. It makes people question when you're on social media. But the sharing of certain things and the kind of information that is unnecessary to share, I mean, I follow a simple rule, or should I say three simple things. You see something, the first thing you ask yourself, is it true? And if it is true, then the second question, is it helpful? And the third one, do I need to share this? Now, if Joanne, it is not
have
true,
you ever seen me post
no, never. But I want to know your thoughts on it because, it, for me, if it's true, then I can go to question number two: is it helpful? Number three, then, do I need to share it? Because you know you'd have to ask yourself that. But if the number one says this may be fake or this is not true, then I don't need to go to number two to see if it's helpful. Because if it's not true, then it's not.